This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Get ready.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Cowboys have a better quarterback.
You're trolling. How many MVPs has that guy won? Rodgers had an off year for an MVP quarterback.
I'll take the 30-year-old guy over the 40-year-old guy.
Oh, really? Would you have said that when Brady was there?
Earlier on the show, host of Nothing Personal Podcast, David Sampson. Coming up, editorial director Kevin Van Valkenburg. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
You know what? We should have a rule here that you don't talk about no hitters or perfect games and stuff like that. Or because we do speak things into existence here on the program in many different ways. That's why RES Consulting exists, because we come up with ideas and they happen. We came on the air talking about Christopher Eubanks, the 27-year-old American that shocked the world by advancing to the quarterfinals, and we came on the air and he was up two sets to one on Daniil Medvedev, the third ranked player in the world, and he was competitive in the fourth set, and we're like, we'll keep an eye on it. And then I do believe he dropped 8 of the next 10 games, I believe. Lost the fourth set in a tiebreak and then got steamrolled in the fifth set.
Yeah, 6-1.
So we apologize to Christopher Eubanks and his family and everyone who roots for him. Our bad. We talked about it, Jim, before it actually happened. Did we jinx him? Because you know, we talk about a Rich Eisen Show bump.
Well, here's
for
the deal.
Our guests.
We certainly aren't the only ones watching, and we certainly weren't the only ones pulling for
okay,
him.
Okay, got it.
So weren't the only ones talking about it. Everyone on Twitter was talking about it. They had Eubanks mania, so it wasn't just us.
We were not the mush.
But it is disappointing
to see him
go out like that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great run, though.
The coolers of the Rich Eisen Show are off the hook.
The best run an American male has had in quite some time at Wimbledon. So this is fantastic for him, and
very
hopefully
good.
His star's on the rise, heading into the U.S. Open next month.
Fantastic. So it's still Alcaraz's world, right? Still?
Correct. Well, if him and Medvedev can meet in the final, that'd be great. That'd be pretty awesome.
That'd be a lot of fun, right?
Unless they're playing in the semis, I'm not sure.
I'm wondering, could I get a single point off of Carlos Alcaraz?
You mean
a point?
No.
A point.
So he wins 6-0, 6-0, 6-0, but you just get 1 point. Like one of the games is 40-15 at one point.
Hey, let me just say this. When I ran a 40 with Usain Bolt, there is a photograph of the two of us just getting out of our start.
Yeah.
And in that moment in time, I was stride for stride with Usain Bolt.
Well, Rich,
there is a photograph on planet Earth where I was, for a split second, stride for stride with the fastest man on planet Earth.
So was the last horse at the Kentucky Derby. But
Usain Bolt, notoriously slow starter. So, you know, he gets out of the blocks.
And I'm a notoriously slow finisher.
You get out of the gate fast.
Correct.
Usain gets out a little slow, traditionally, in big races.
So I'm just saying, would I lace it up? Even just so Alcaraz, one serve, he tries to go real, you know, his usual, and it hits the top of the net and bounces out of the service box.
Sure. Oh,
so now he's on a second serve.
So you're saying he double faults and that's how you get a point?
No. I'd have to gain the point myself. So I'm saying now, I'm assuming I'd have a better chance on his second serve, although he could spin it into the point where I'd have to hit it above my shoulder to return it. It's possible.
I'm going to say, with all these scenarios that you're concocting, the answer is no.
There's no way. Wouldn't.
He'd be able to get three sets on me.
If an earthquake happened to happen, right as his backswing was in the ball kind of tipped
or
the net.
Or he does hit his usual serve, right?
But it's a little slow.
And no, it's still, and it doesn't knock the racket out of my hand.
Yes.
And I'm able to somehow, after.
Connect.
Hold on. After 50 aces in the first 8 games.
And the sun gets in his eye.
Okay. It's now. It's now.
Drop of water.
It's now two. Love, second set. He's already won the first set 6-0 in an immaculate set where he didn't lose a point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That seems
doable. I've now finally, okay, timed his serve.
You've timed
it. How can you count that quick?
Or, I've now finally clocked it.
I'm
to connect
like the jug's gun.
And return it
in the baseball
sufficiently enough, because I don't believe I'm going to win a point if we're rallying. There's okay. no rally. A rally would be There's I no return rally. It
a back and forth,
and yeah. then I return it again after he
right an exchange
hits, an exchange a rally
of forehands.
Correct. Definitely not a backhand, please. Although sometimes my backhand is better.
Rich,
it depends on what day it is, if I woke up dangerous or not.
Alcaraz is in a 125-mile-an-hour
serve zone. So I'm saying, could I get one point off of him? And I've been improving.
I know you've been practicing.
Oh, by the way, Timothy Oliphant, who's on the show next week, he is actually a terrific tennis player.
Yes.
And the last time he was on, I told him, hey, I'm doing it really well. And then I made a motion with my hand as if I was shutting a door, and he made it funny. He started laughing, made fun of me because I, you know, you have to brush the tennis ball. You have to brush it, which now I understand. I've now taken enough lessons and played enough. I get it. Low to high, you know, got to brush.
Top spin.
So you're saying I could not get a single point?
I would say it's.
Yeah, 125. It's
very unlikely.
Could I, if I spot up in an NBA game, could I make one shot?
From how far away?
A three-point range.
And no chance. No,
I couldn't make a three?
No.
Come
no.
on.
No.
I'm spotting up. You know how defense is sag.
I think you have a better chance of making a three than a layup.
Oh, I'm not making a layup. That's no chance.
Because that means you're going to drive on somebody. Please. They're gonna toss you. A three, at least, you might be camped out there dolo.
I saw Durant at a local establishment here two nights ago.
Oh, did you ask him this?
I didn't have the temerity.
Hey, KD, can I score in a game?
But you know the defense is sagging off me. Okay, you know that.
Yes, you're getting the Draymond treatment.
Correct, and I just want everyone to understand I would do the Patrick Ewing thing, which is wear a T-shirt underneath the jersey.
That was fashion.
Here's right, the I'm not chance. Just. I'm not wearing a. But I'm going baggy shorts because I'm a Michigan guy.
That's how you do.
Okay.
Black socks, chance. Black shoes.
I always go baggy shorts.
Black socks, black shoes.
Black right down the middle.
Where's some black scoring a goal in a hockey game is
no
more
way.
Likely.
No way. You see me skate.
Yeah, I can skate. I've lost weight. Put me on skates now. I would skate a lot better.
So
I have a better
in
chance.
In a national hockey league.
One-on-one with the goalie? Yeah, because all you can do is have to deep the goalie.
Okay, so yeah. We're in overtime.
That's
we're
easy.
In overtime.
We're
in overtime. We've gone through three-on-threes. Okay?
Got to deep the goalie.
Still nobody's lit the lamp. In great. Regular season, National Hockey League action. It is now time to send the fans home with the most exciting moments you can have in a regular season game in the NHL shot. Now is penalty shots.
Yeah, love it.
A team decides to put you out there, okay? You're in a sweater, and you're in, which is what you call a jersey in hockey. You got the whole thing on. You would be able, one-on-one.
Today.
The soccer, I definitely could. The soccer.
No,
soccer.
Stop. No, stop. Don't change the subject. Don't change the subject. You would be able.
It'd be easier.
To
I just
score
said it would
a
be
goal.
Easier for me to do that than
that's
for
not what you.
You
said, though.
I did. It's exactly what I said.
Then for Rich to score a point against.
For Rich to score a point.
It'd
be easier for me to score because all the goalie goes away.
I would
way.
Be able to score a point. By the way, I don't know if this is the dumbest argument in the history of this program or.
It's not definitely not.
I would
soccer.
Be able to get a point off of Carlos Alcaraz. Excuse
three,
me.
Four times,
I would be
times.
Able to get a point off of the number one tennis player in the world, Carlos Alcaraz. I'd be able to get that before you score on a National Hockey League goalie on skates on an ice in a penalty shot situation.
I think that, yeah. Definitely in soccer, if the goalie goes the wrong way,
soccer,
you got
to
go.
I saw you like try soccer, to score on the Rich Eisen show.
I did it against two guys, and I scored four goals.
Like, and the way you were kicking was like Mark Mosley kicked field goals
by
back
way,
in the 80s, like straight on with your toe.
Very little warm-up, boom. Give me a little warm-ups, boom. in.
I saw you swing a wiffle ball bat on video yesterday.
I had a rotator cuff.
Now, hold on a second. In all seriousness, you got to be honest here.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're swearing you're honest here.
Yes.
Were you thinking this
as you were working the faders on the Gold Cup penalty kick moments of the weekend?
I actually thought about the goalie when I heard
that ball hit the crossbar and the United States beat Canada to advance, and you were so proud of how it sounded during that entire venture. Were you thinking I could score here? Yes or no?
There's no question. I think about that all the time. I did it against these guys.
These guys,
Mike,
they're not in the Gold Cup.
I've never played
the only
soccer.
Cups they have is what they wore the in high school the over their groins.
In a soccer match, which I've done 1,000 of them in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yes,
it's all where the goalie goes, and that's
if you
what
guess
makes
right.
It. And if you guess right, yes. And I've heard John and Stu talk about it all the time. Turner's amazing at that. He guessed, and the goalie guesses. You've seen those guys in those shootouts. That's kind of, and I say this, a little more, it's skill with luck.
I'm sure there are people out there listening, watching right now. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Like, what is the silliest supposition or argument?
No, Brockman, not
you think, or you've
Brockman,
heard, or even a friend has told you, I could absolutely do that.
I'll even say that he could probably, playing basketball, as long as he's played basketball, he'd probably make a shot against...
I don't know, man.
I think he would. He didn't think he
These
could.
These guys are so fast and so long at closing out.
But if you're
we would
open,
get blocked every time.
I think you guys don't
understand how athletic these NBA players are.
I know that.
Are.
Come on.
I mean, we know that, but I'm saying.
Well, you clearly don't
know. Wide open.
Oh, no. I mean.
Closed out on Miller and blocked his three.
Yeah.
We would never get a shot
off.
Yeah,
but he's seven. I'm not saying I could get a shot off over Victor Wembanyama.
Well, what if he's on the court? No, I wouldn't.
But if I'm spotting up for three.
And you say Victor
and you know
Wembanyama
the defense is sagging on me like I'm Russell Westbrook on a night I'm already 1 for 19.
But also how long it would take amateurs like us to get our motion, and it would get blocked every time.
I've got a quick trigger.
What's
up? Oh, no, I've got a quick trigger.
What's up? You guys drinking before I got here today?
You know.
At Rich Eisen Show right now, vote.
I might look like Spice Adams.
What's more likely, trigger? Del Tufo can score a penalty shot or Rich get a point against Alcaraz? Vote right now. Or call us with
I
your crazy
absolutely get a point off of the number one tennis player in the world when compared to his ability to light the lamp on an NHL goalie that he's one-on-one against.
Mike's making it seem like
here.
It's so easy to
no,
score
no,
on
I'm
a goalie.
No, I'm not saying it's
you
easy
You did
at
say
all.
It was easy.
I said it would be more likely.
I've seen Del Tufo skate, Mike. We did the thing
I
with
skate,
the Kings.
And I hadn't been on skates in like 25 years.
It was impressive.
If you gave me
I
like
cannot
a couple
skate.
Weeks of skating, boom.
Couple weeks Feller's of skating,
Feller's probably laughing his...
Yeah, because you have an skate. Actual hockey player.
Because he actually played hockey.
Actual hockey
Here's a question. Here's a question for you, Ben. You're in the batter's box. Otani's on the mound.
Not
he throws you 100 pitches. Can you put one
in
pitch
play?
In play?
Are they all fastballs?
It's whatever he feels like throwing you.
No,
I don't know.
No chance. You go 0 for 100.
Yeah.
You'd be lucky to foul tip one.
I'll say this. A few months ago, I was at a birthday party at Dodger Stadium, and we were lucky enough to get on the field, and we stepped in the batting cage and took batting practice. There's a guy just throwing softballs to us, basically.
Yeah.
And I connected on pretty much every pitch.
Yeah.
But I'm like thinking I'm just like swinging for the fences. I put one ball over the infield dirt and I connected on almost every, like literally the pitches didn't even get past the grass. Like that's how hard it is. And that guy was just like, here you go.
You couldn't put one ball in play against Otani for 100 pitches? You really?
I'm going with you, Chris.
One ball in play. You couldn't even tap one down. You couldn't even.
Can I bunt?
No. No.
I played baseball for 18 years.
You may not bunt.
It would be very difficult.
You may not bunt.
You'd foul tip one.
In the same way, I could not.
Maybe.
It would not
count
if Alcaraz double faulted. That would not count as my point.
If I foul tipped one.
Yeah, I mean.
He's throwing 100 miles an hour. A common person standing in the batter's box, you'd never see the ball.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said.
You remember the actor Michael Vartan came on this program?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he once told me and a couple of friends that he would be able to score from the 10-yard line on Jerome Bettis.
Oh.
Jerome switching positions.
That he'd be able to outrun and get in from the 10-yard. If it was just him against Jerome Bettis, he would be able to get in. And we were like, that's not happening. I believe that's what it was.
Regular folk who are just sort of athletic have such delusions about what actual pro athletes right. and how insanely yes. athletic
Correct.
They are.
It's not, yeah.
Like this morning,
that
right?
getting him from the 10-yard line.
Like, yeah. what? You're crazy.
That he'd be able to outrun him, that or juke him once and then get around him.
Yeah.
And once he's out the gate, there's nobody to stop him.
Who's the biggest player in the NFL?
Right now?
No, nobody could outrun Vince Wilfork to the goal line. That's how crazy athletic these guys are.
So, I guess take the largest offensive line.
When they do the 40 simulcast,
I know.
Okay?
I know that.
350-pound guys, you're not outrunning.
I was watching Good Morning Football
this
morning.
Because I'm in my suit, Chris.
Thomas Davis was on, and he was talking about the first time he saw Julius Peppers. And he's like, now this is Thomas Davis, a 16-year pro, who's like, I looked at Julius Peppers, who is 6'7 and 290 pounds, and he's faster than our DBs.
Yeah, exactly.
Marshall Faulk.
Come on.
We got to get Marshall back on here. Marshall tells a story about the first time he ever went to Buffalo, okay, in the old stadium, the old Rich Stadium, I think is what it's called, right, Hoskins? Rich Stadium? Yeah, yeah. And it was, you know, the turf, the old artificial turf that was crowned. It was crowned. It was concrete.
Crown,
yeah. And so you would, and yeah, you know, it was like crown.
Yeah.
You know,
like
and it was really elevated. Crowned. And so he would be standing on the opposite sideline, and Bruce Smith would be coming out of the tunnel, as he said, all greased up. Yeah. And then because it's the turf, it was you'd see the smoke, heat, the heat coming off the turf and the smoke coming out of his mouth. And Marshall Faulk, future Hall of Famer, would be like, oh, yes. Honestly, like you would just see Bruce Smith coming out of the tunnel, like all ready to go, breathing
and
smoke, and then the heat coming off of the turf that was domed, and so you didn't even see his full body, just only the top half of him, like just ready to go, and the crowd going nuts, and you just be like, oh no.
I'm going to have to get hit by that guy.
Yeah.
And bro, when we went to Canton, and we'd sit there, and we'd see these guys, even as older
Mel Blunt
men.
Mel Blunt keeps going.
Exactly. Even as older men, they walk by, and you're just like, oh my God.
Mel Blunt,
like,
nope. Guys, I'm telling you. And do you remember we saw Jonathan Ogden?
We have a picture
with
him.
He doesn't end. He does not stop. He keeps going. And same thing with Mel Blunt. And then he puts a cowboy hat on. And it goes even further. All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, what did happen on Capitol Hill yesterday when the United States Senate looked into the LIV Tour and PGA Tour agreement? Kevin Van Valkenburg of No Laying Up will join us to make heads or tails of that. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. We'll take your calls as well.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Back here on the program, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. And I'll repeat that again, because there are some people that would like to chime in on the conversation we just had.
I like one caller.
I love it.
Go ahead.
Mike, you knew when you said I could score on an NHL goalie one-on-one. You knew there might be some pushback coming.
I know. Come on.
Certainly from our great heartland, the United States of America. That's coming up. I found it funny, Chris. I thought you could score on anybody. I thought that's part of your game is overconfidence. You know?
Yeah, when I'm
like, if you're spotting up for
playing
three,
against casuals.
I know that, but if you're spotting up for three, defense is sagging, nearest guys in the paint, I know they can close real fast, but let's, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm putting it in. I'm trying to be a little humble here.
Oh, okay. but it's hard to be humble when you're stunting on a jumbotron. Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, they're professionals for a reason. We play, you know, rec league for a reason.
Where is that stitched.
It's over here. It's in one of these drawers.
It's in a drawer?
I mean, not in a drawer. It sat up here for the longest time, and then I put it away.
That's a gift from Steven Soderbergh, by the way.
Hold on a second.
I don't know. Drop the name. Pick it up. I don't care. That's who gave it to us.
I got it for you.
Somebody got it on Etsy when somebody was stitching.
Yeah.
Famous phrases. I mean,
back in the day, Kanye had some good tweets. Back in the day.
Yeah, that's right. Stitching tweets, right? Kanye's tweets?
Yeah, it was a thing back then. Yeah,
yeah, before he, you know.
It was a thing.
Went a little off the reservation.
In the early days of Twitter.
Right. All right.
Rich, you saying that you had a quick trigger with your jump shot?
That was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I honestly think
that's like your third day in a row.
I could get a shot off.
That's your third one for this week so far. Your Shaka Khan, your what's up, and now you got a quick trigger.
What's going to happen tomorrow?
What do you mean?
What line are you going to drop tomorrow?
I don't know. Tune in. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, the Rich Eisen Show desk is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. You stay on hold. We are going to take your phone calls. We just had a fun chat about what we would be able to do on a diamond or a hard court or a tennis court, or in the case Mike Del Tufo thinks he could score on an NHL goalie in a one-on-one situation. I'm sure everyone has a friend saying, I could do this, I could do that, and you'd be like, get out of here. We want to hear the best one that you've had on that front. You're on this day where not much is going on in the world of sports, but what went down yesterday on Capitol Hill is something I want to talk about right now. The U.S. Senate Subcommittee of Homeland Security was looking into the Live and PGA Tour relationship. And here to talk about this, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, from No Laying Up, the terrific website that covers the world of golf, great podcast as well, Kevin Van Valkenburg, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Kevin?
Rich, I'm a little tired. Okay. My beard is a little grayer from all this stuff, but hanging in there. It seems like every week there's another nuclear bomb dropped in the world of golf, but we're still trying to sort it through and figure it out.
Okay, a nice document drop from the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Homeland Security, which is something I'm sure you never thought would be associated with the conversation about the PGA Tour. What did you learn yesterday? Anything new?
Well, I think we learned that both sides, particularly Liv, wanted a lot of things and asked for kind of some pie-in-the-sky requests that not even the PGA Tour could ever possibly meet, like giving Yasser Al-Rumayyan a green jacket to be a member of Augusta National. I'm going to tell you right now, I think with full confidence, that is extremely unlikely to happen, nor could the PGA Tour grant that if it wanted. So things like that, that they wanted Tiger and Rory to play in 10 live events, that they wanted to have this sort of international showcase of golf, that they, resisted any sort of control over the PGA Tour determining the fate of live. The PGA Tour obviously tried several times to push back on it. And mostly what we learned was that they're still figuring out how this agreement is going to look going forward. I mean, I think for as much as there was sort of bluster in the hearing that went on, the real juice was sort of in the documents. And ultimately, I think what we can sort of say is that the only things that have been truly agreed upon right now are that they're going to drop litigation against each other and that they're not going to sort of try to steal away players that live for the moment. That's all that we can say definitively. The rest of it, as they say, is still to be determined.
Yes, a lot of bluster, obviously, as there always is in Capitol Hill hearings. And, it's not news, as you would know, Kevin, I'm sure, that when there's a negotiation in anything, if you have a paper trail of asks released, some of these YOLO moments will definitely jump out at you no matter what. But the question I'm wondering about is a side agreement. Is there a side agreement to the agreement that is only an agreement to agree, as Jimmy Dunn said yesterday, that says Greg Norman is out? What is that one all about, Kevin?
So it seemed very much like the people involved were sort of confusing what this part of the proposal was, the best of both worlds with like side agreements. I'd say it's unlikely that Greg Norman has a position similar to what he has going forward. Part of what sort of was discussed in the documents was the PGA Tour wanted to push Norman out and basically said, you know, he could be just sort of moved into an advisory role. The PIF pushed back against that, so they're not going to really agree to that. And then during the hearing, you know, they were sort of asked, you know, what role will Norman have essentially? And, you know, they said, well, Ron Price said, we're thinking we're going to basically phase that position out. So I don't know that if I were Greg Norman, I would certainly be worried about what the sort of loyalty is to him going forward. But I think the fairness to Greg Norman, you have to say that the PIF and LIV hasn't sort of agreed to throw him under the bus and basically be like, all right, well, we'll get you out to sort of get whatever we want at this moment. That was certainly something the PGA Tour wants and will probably still pursue. But as of right now, that is not to say that there's like an agreement between them to kick him out.
Okay, so then what is there an agreement on? Kevin Van Valkenburg of No Laying Up here on the Rich Eisen Show, my colleague from ESPN back in the day. So let's talk about this a little bit, Kevin. You know, because I was stunned to see that this is a quote directly from Jimmy Dunn, who was involved in these negotiations, high level, nonstop, back and forth. There is no, quote, there is no merger. There is no deal. There is simply an agreement to try to get an agreement. So what is there between the PGA Tour and LIV Tours right now? Kevin?
I think what you could say is there's an understanding that the Saudis were determined to potentially dump another $5 billion into Live and to sort of essentially get a seat at the table. I think the best like description that I've sort of heard about this is like, if you decided, Rich, that you wanted to be involved in professional football, mm-hmm. would you rather like start your own professional football league, or would you rather just buy a professional football team within the NFL? Like, that's ultimately what I think the Saudis decided, which was, you know, it's been fine, like, trying to start up this whole deal. And, like, obviously we have some ideas that we think would benefit probably based off of some of the Formula One model or the cricket model. But ultimately, like, if we could just buy our own kind of portion of this, that would be a much better fit for us and probably less of a headache. And so I think what both sides have agreed to is that the Saudis were not going to quit easily. I do think that the PGA Tour probably painted itself a little bit in sort of like its financial situation a little more dire than it truly is, just because they know, like, if this doesn't go through, they're in a lot of trouble, that they're kind of screwed. So I think that, you know, they've all kind of agreed on that it would be best if they worked together. And, you know, that seemed to be, you know, Senator Johnson's from Wisconsin, his sort of feelings of like, why don't we just let these guys figure this out? Like, let's let them kind of sort it out. We don't need the government sort of in there. And Senator Blumenthal was basically, he's been a pretty consistent critic on Saudi influence stuff. He's been one of the, you know, senators who's, you know, who can't really play the what about game with him, because he's sort of been outspoken of, we shouldn't be selling arms to the Saudis. Like, we shouldn't be involved in letting them have as much influence in our society about basic things. So that's what I would say the main takeaways are, is that they want to kind of figure this out and they want to play nice, because they're realizing so Yasser doesn't want to get deposed and the PGA Tour doesn't want to be bled dry in further like legal disputes or, you know, pouring the next $5 billion into the future of LIV.
So then what are the next steps, certainly from the PGA Tour? Let's take it one step at a time here, Kevin, because during the hearing yesterday, a member of the group that represents 9/11 families dropped a document right in the middle of the two PGA Tour representatives sitting at the table during their testimony. And that document apparently documents how the Saudi Arabians did in fact commit the atrocity on Jamal Khashoggi, and obviously did have a role in 9/11. And, you know, Jimmy Dunn has a personal history involving with 9/11, where we all know what happened to him and people who he knows and worked with on that day. Where does yesterday leave the PGA Tour, Kevin?
I think it probably leaves the PGA Tour in just kind of having to, you know, it's pardon my phrase, like they're going to have to sort of over and over just basically be like, yep, like we know that we look like hypocrites on some of this moral stuff because we took a tactic of saying, you know, do you ever have to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour? And now we're saying we'll work with these people. And there really isn't a good answer. There's never a good answer if you're starting to try to defend like working with people who commit human rights abuses. There's no way that it's going to sort of like be razzle-dazzled away. And I think, you know, the truth of it is they're just not going to be able to come up with a good explanation other than we were kind of in a position where we had no choice. And so I think what the future of it going forward is that, you know, what one of the things that Jimmy Dunn was sort of pretty adamant about is like, we won't agree to any agreement where the PGA Tour doesn't have control going forward. Well, what does control look like? You know, if you look in, one of my colleagues, Chris Solomon, did some sort of digging in the documents where you can actually go in and see the like Microsoft Word track changes to how they were sort of tug of warring back and forth with the documents. And one of the main things that they're arguing over is like veto power of whether, you know, the PGA Tour will be able to determine the future of LIV and whether, you know, they'll have veto rights to sort of block, you know, certain decisions that, you know, Yasser could, he's going to be outvoted in this sort of board that they put together, and whether he'll have the sort of veto rights to say like, no, that's not something we want to move forward with. They, right now, all they've agreed upon is that they're going to try to figure that stuff out. But within the negotiations broadly, they have so much stuff to figure out. Veto rights, whether the players who didn't go to LIV will be compensated in some way for their loyalty, you know, how many sort of fall events or team events they could sort of get these guys to be interested in. They didn't even talk about like this, the future of the TGL stuff with, you know, Rory and Tiger have this sort of indoor golf league coming in that the PGA Tour owns a portion of that would be sort of rolled in to the larger aspects of that. Like, can you make Rory and Tiger sort of participate in some, you know, LIV affiliated thing through that? It's all really going to be, I think, intense negotiations, and the clock is sort of through the end of the year. Like, they have to figure this out by December 31st, or we just kind of reset going back to where LIV competes again with their bottomless bucket of money, and the PGA Tour has to figure out whether they can go and get private equity money and sort of try to fight it that way.
And Jay Monahan returns on Friday, right? From his health sabbatical?
I think Jay Monahan, I think I feel fairly confident in saying this, like his future is sort of TBD. And if this doesn't go through, I'm not sure how he can still be your commissioner. The PGA Tour has for years kind of said, we're a player-run organization. And all of this negotiation was essentially done without the players' involvement. And so I know from talking to some of the players that they're pissed and they don't really know if they want to go along with this, not because they don't necessarily think that it's a, you know, a good deal for them financially, which it most likely will be, but because they feel sort of, you know, powerless in all this and lied to and misled by their own membership. And even though like they elect the people, they empower the people who are on the board to sort of make these decisions, it still feels a little bit of anger of like, yeah, my future is being determined without me really having any input on the front end. And so, you know, is Jay your guy that you want to sort of have, you know, in control going forward when he's the guy who in a lot of ways was at the, you know, at the helm of the ship when all of this opening for LIV was created? I think those are very real questions that, you know, their players are going to want to ask going forward.
Well, I mean, are all the players feeling that way? Because, I mean, there's no PGA Tour Players Association, right? There's no Players Union. Yeah. So,
right.
I'm wondering.
Great question. I don't know, to be honest. Like, I think some of the top players are feeling different from some of the sort of bottom level players. Mm-hmm. Like, but some of the player board policy board members, Peter Malnati is, you know, very much a middling kind of tour player. And mm-hmm. he's been sort of, you know, outspoken about like, I have some moral conflict of this, but I also understand that like, I'm not speaking just necessarily for myself. I'm trying to look at this broadly for like, what's good for the future of the PGA Tour. I think like with anything, you know, even within unions, whether we've seen it with the NFL, with the MLB, you know, Players Association, that they have a hard time agreeing on what's a good deal for their futures, and they're supposed to, you know, fight collectively as one voice and one body. So I think you'll see, you know, over the next few months, like a lot, there'll be some people who are outspoken about, I think this is a terrible deal. I think we should start our own, you know, breakaway league or some, you know, half thought out idea that either, you know, it does come to fruition or doesn't. But there's a lot of players who I think don't really quite grasp the amount of difficulty and negotiation that goes into this larger stuff, but they also still have rights in that sense because they're the product. They're the thing that provides value going forward.
All in time for the Open Championship week at Royal Liverpool next week with the defending champion Cam Smith of the Live Tour.
It's a spectacle, yeah. Right.
You know, over there. What do you think is going to happen next week, Kevin? What's that going to look like? What do you got for me there?
I mean, gosh, it wouldn't surprise me at all if, like, we got a Cam Smith-Rory sort of showdown again. I mean, these two forces kind of representing different sides of this divide. You know, some of the animosity has faded between some of the two sides. They're kind of resigned to the fact that they'll be back together in some way, shape, or form. You know, Phil Mickelson didn't do any really talking at the U.S. Open, even though this sort of framework had come out.
He was selling capes at Valderrama, though, Kevin, talking about how kids are going to be running around the course in 2025 and 2026 on the Live Tour wearing capes, having fun, family event. You know,
there's anything to get Tiger back. It's the idea of wearing a cape, man, right? Like just have him out there, you know, playing meaningless golf in a cape. I love that for him. No, I mean, hopefully Phil will sort of be willing to talk and share his thoughts. He keeps sort of, you know, saying, all in good time, it'll come out. There'll be a time for me to address this. And, you know, he just hasn't quite gotten there yet. So
last ones for you, Kevin Van Valkenburg. No laying up right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just real, I just want to linger on the best of all worlds, best of both worlds. You know, YOLO asks, 10 events for Tiger Woods, just any events. It doesn't have to be Live, PGA Tour, just 10 rounds of golf for Tiger. 10 rounds?
We'll be lucky if we get 10 rounds from Tiger in the next 5 years.
Of course.
Or ever.
Like ever.
I think Tiger very much has to look at some of this stuff and see some frustration of that. Like, nobody owns me, and I'm being used as, like, a bargaining chip in some of this stuff. Like, obviously, a lot of it is, like, just pie-in-the-sky requests from Liv, who, you know, even, you know, if you're thinking that Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy are going to play 10 events for Liv, and that's part of your initial proposal, you aren't reading the room particularly well. You might think that, like, oh, I'm going to come in with, like, a really bold position. But, like, even the PGA Tour doesn't have the power to make them do that. Like, Tiger could basically say, like, pound sand. I'm not going to play any more tournaments again. So I think they're going to have to kind of be more realistic. And Tiger's going to be the person who sort of determines, like, if he ever plays in anything other than the majors or the Genesis, his own tournament again, I'd be surprised.
And how does one, let's talk about Fight Club a little bit, ask for a green jacket? How does someone go... Like, go up to Fred Ridley and say, Fred, listen, golf's in trouble, and you have a garment that can help make it happen for Yasser. Yeah. And is that truly a process that exists on planet Earth or what, Kevin?
I don't believe so. I mean, the process in general is secretive, but the understanding that has always been out there is if you ask that you basically, like, punt back your even eligibility for like
it's like Fight Club. You know? It's like Fight Club, right?
Bill Gates, when he was the richest man by far in the world,
right,
desperately wanted to be a member of Augusta National, and they made him wait. You know, he is a member now, but they made him wait like at least 5 years, I think, because he asked, because he wanted to. That's always sort of been the, you know, legend going around. And so, you know, I think it's not like they have a meeting, I think, where they sit and sort of mull it over, and like Peyton Manning gets a vote, Spurrier gets a vote,
right?
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, the sort of high level people would sort of see, is this in Augusta's best interest? Augusta has always understood that they can function above all of it, and they don't have to bend to anyone's, you know, needs or wants. And so, there's no chance that like the PGA Tour could basically say, hey, can you do a solid on this and bring this in? Because I guarantee there's membership there that would be like, hell no. I mean, I've heard all kinds of interesting stories about how one member wanted this, but he happened to be, you know, a Georgia football fan, and there was a bunch of South Carolina fans that kept him out of there. This isn't the kind of thing that, you know, it happens very easily for anyone who, regardless of having billions of dollars. And one of the things that I'm fascinated about is like,
yes,
can you imagine if you're Mohammed bin Salman and you are, you know, kind of following the news here and there, like he's been westernized in a lot of ways. And so is he like scrolling through Twitter yesterday and being like, wait a minute, my guy spent like how much money, like all hoping to be a member of like Augusta National? Like this is like $4 billion of our country's money that just basically was towards this end goal. So
yeah, and you could also, you know, Yasser could push back and say, I wanted an RNA membership yeah. too. So, you know, he was, you know, scaling up, you know what I mean? It wasn't all yeah. just for the jacket, you know?
I think we can, you know, we can figure out a Muirfield membership.
Maybe, yeah, you know,
Turnberry.
Figure it out.
Make that happen. But,
yeah,
you know, I guess it's probably not. Maybe just a morning tea time at St. Andrews, like every once a month, maybe.
So Yasser didn't get it sent a Zoom link by the membership committee at Augusta National and have a chat. That didn't happen from any of this.
Not that I would imagine. Okay. Much, but you know, who knows?
Well, I'll keep my eyes peeled on no laying up for that information. Kevin, thanks as always. Look for more of my calls whenever this stuff happens. I greatly appreciate it.
Anytime.
Editorial director of No Laying Up, Kevin Van Valkenburgh, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know,
it's all wild.
I mean, get him a green jacket. Can we? Do you know anybody who can get you a green jacket?
Probably find one at
my local tailor,
Macy's or something.
I got one left.
Oh my gosh!
$4 billion for an Augusta membership—is that all it costs?
Well, I just found that fascinating that they found out the Saudis were going to put $5 billion more in Live, so we got to make a deal, which still doesn't exist. It's an agreement to get an agreement.
Get an agreement.
When are they
right.
going to start agreeing to stuff?
I don't know, but that might have to be our fantasy team.
Agreement to get an agreement.
Yeah, agreement to get an agreement.
I like it the best of all worlds.
Best of all worlds.
Best of all worlds.
Best of all worlds.
That is my favorite.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Every phone line is lit.
Say stupid fantastic. Stuff.
Like, that should be your boat name, honestly. Best of all worlds.
Best of all worlds.
That's a better like boat
that.
Name.
That's a great boat
Stu
name.
Gotts. Come on.
Come on.
Stugatz is
bad. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Yes, indeed. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
What was the first cordless phone you had?
Oh,
growing up, remember that?
I don't remember.
With the
we
antenna?
Always had a corded phone in our house, I believe.
But you don't remember when you got a cordless one, and you had to pull the antenna.
You had to pull the antenna. And if you broke the antenna, throw the phone out.
Pretty much.
You could never
it was
fix
pretty
the
much
antenna.
Worthless after
yeah, cordless. That. Yeah, I think we had one in our Staten Island home, I believe. Why? Is there a story around this?
No.
Cordless phone day?
Just
today's Brown Bag Day, right? National Brown Bag Day?
Yeah, Brown Paper yeah. Bag Day.
Brown Paper
what else?
Bag
you were going, through, you were going through the days. What else?
No, stop for a second.
Oh, I like the days.
Who decides and who forces? Who's like pounding the table
Remember,
for
Rich,
brown
we've,
paper
we've
bags?
We've talked about this over the years. You can petition whatever the National Day Board is, and you can get anything a day.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do?
So what do you want?
Seriously, we gotta get a day.
Well, we just have to decide what we want our day to be.
Well, what would our day be?
But it can't be anything that's already there.
That right
which
now.
Means you gotta do a lot of research
because
there's
about
a thousand
yeah,
days.
There's like eight or nine a day.
A day, yeah.
For the day,
there used to be one. Like it was National Pizza Day. Yeah. Now it's
well, I get it. That I was mean, like I would figure that's taken.
Oh, I mean,
yeah, how do we decide what National Pizza Day
so
is? Every day is
National
day Pizza
Day.
But now there's
for
like a
daughter.
National Pineapple on Pizza Day. National Not.
So today, actually, we talked about this. Today is National Pecan Pie Day. Yeah.
Today?
Pecan?
Today.
Yeah. So do you say pecan or pecan?
Oh,
we're having
whatever.
That discussion.
Oh,
National
okay.
Different Colored Eyes Day.
Right.
Shout out to Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer.
Shout out Max Scherzer.
National Simplicity Day.
Yep. Eat Your Jello Day.
Yeah.
And Paper Bag Day. We got to think of one of these.
Shout out to the unknown comment.
Yep. And then tomorrow is Beans and Franks Day.
Franks.
We should get W.R.L. Brown on, right? We should get the actor W. Earl
Barbershop Brenner. Music Appreciation Day.
Oh.
Delaware Day. Shout out the first state.
First state.
Oh, my God. What doesn't have a day?
Wait,
back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen Show back here on.
And what was the first day that this show was on air?
October something.
October 6th.
Right, okay.
So that should be the official day.
Carlos Alcaraz just dispatched with Holger Rune of Denmark.
God bless you.
There was nothing rotten with Carlos's game. It's a Shakespearean reference.
There's something wrong.
He beat him
Denmark.
In straight sets, but this Dane got points off him, and I was just wondering, would I be able to get a single point off of Carlos Alcaraz? A single point. And Del Tufo says he could get, this is what I think lit the phone lines up more than anything else. You could lace up skates, and in a one-on-one,
it gets to go.
Penalty shot situation with a National Hockey League goalie, you could light the lamp. You believe this?
I said I could. I said I could. Right. I'd have to trade.
And phone lines have lit. Let's go to Tom in Cincinnati. What's up, Tom?
What?
That's four.
Yep.
Line four. What's up, Tom? You there,
Tom?
Yeah, yeah.
He's up. He's up.
Yeah, Kyle, Cincinnati.
Hey, oh, Kyle, sorry.
Kyle.
Where did Tom come from?
I love you, man. You're great, but also, there is no way. We run a recreational hockey league here, Covington Street Hockey League, also Cincinnati based. But also, man, you couldn't even score on a rec goalie out here, bro. There is no way that you are in any chance going to be able to put one in on an NHL goalie on a breakaway. Those guys are so good. It is phenomenal.
I'm talking.
I don't know. You put it on there. You just put it on net. You know, anything top shelf.
Maybe, but I don't know how to skate, Mike.
Mike, give him a quality assessment. Give Kyle. By the way, sorry,
I haven't been
Kyle.
On skates. I haven't been on skates in a long time. I was more joking about that.
Well, anytime you're back on Cincinnati, man, feel free to come down and you try to score one of our rec goalies, and we'll see how that goes.
All right,
yes. Stop that.
By the way, I do believe we have a photograph of the last time Del Tufo was on skates.
Look at that guy could score.
Wow, look at that lid.
Look at that hair.
By the way, that's
very Nick Fatillo look right there.
By the way, those are lacrosse gloves. Because, you ready for this one? Left my regular gloves at home. One of my friends had those in his car.
Right.
I still get mocked out by my brother.
How many goals did you score that season, Mike?
I had a hat trick on one.
Hey.
On one.
What a night.
Shift.
One shift?
St. Peter's.
Wow, it's like Ellie De La Cruz with three stolen bases on two pitches.
So in like 90 seconds, you had three goals?
We were more than 90.
What are you, Wayne Gretzky?
I three goals, one shift. The goalie.
Hat trick.
Goalie was not good in that.
I would proffer to say.
It sounds like.
I think that goalie quit the game.
Like, yeah.
Was it an empty net situation?
No,
it was just good. Which one?
Let's go to Jay in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Jay.
What's up? What's happening?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Sounds like Jason Feller.
It's Feller and it's not Friday.
Feller, we mentioned your name. We invoked it earlier. I don't know if you heard.
I was in a company meeting, but I had to cut it short when I heard the delusions of Mike just now.
Okay, what do you got?
I think I have a better chance at having Taylor Swift write a breakup song about me than Mike ever.
I like that line.
Well done.
Yep.
I like that line.
Yeah, unless 50-year-old Mike is better than I was at 17, never scoring on the professional goalies I met, it's not happening.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.
I have a paper brown paper bag. I'm going to liquor store.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Jason Feller
checking in. Wow. He can't quit us. We can't quit him. Very broke
we'll
back
see you Friday,
moment
bro.
There.
Wow, Jay Feller.
You want to amend it?
Mike, double down.
He's already backing down.
Double down, Mike.
I backed it. You know me.
Double
I'm a
down.
Flip-flop guy. I'm not going to
I still think.
You got to connect.
I could get a point off of Alcaraz. I could time it at some point. I could time it, get a serve going, and he'd have to unforce error or something like that.
Or just the fact that you returned one, he's so stunned.
He's stunned.
He just like, what?
Yeah, wait a minute. I just aced him 50 times in a row.
He's like, what?
Right. And I'd say I'd give it third game, second set where I could time one up.
Third.
start.
Because he's now, okay, I'm up 2-0. This guy has anything.
He's up 2-0. He just broke my serve.
Right.
He's serving again to go up 3-0, second set. I think maybe that's where I could start timing it up and return.
What would your strategy be? Are you going to try to like hang back and attempt to rally, or would you kind of crash the net and serve and volley?
Should I call my tennis coach and get him on the air and ask him this question?
Yes.
Yes, 100%.
See if he's available.
Is this a FaceTime situation with tennis
coach? No, I'd call him during the break and see if he would do it and come on and talk about it.
100%.
I think that's worth a few minutes of our time.
Okay. I'll call him up. He knows my game very well.
Familiar.
I would stay tuned for hour number three if I were you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Yeah, because sometimes, on occasion, I will, you know, he'll just, you know, just lightly hit with me. And then I will uncork a forehand that dots the back corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll look at me and he'll just he'll clap his racket. And then next one, he'll just, you know, put it in to start rallying. And then I'll hit one and hit a winner up the line and then he'll look at me. And then the next time I'll just send it back and he will just legitimately try to hit it hard and then just smack it. And I don't have a shot. Like, right. I can't even move in one direction or the other. And he'll kind of look at me and I'll say to him, "You feel better?" It's like his competitive spirit will be like, "All right.
Okay, come on, man.
He's got two on me. I gave him one little clap. Another one, he did it again. Like, great shot." And then just remind me of how far I am from actually getting to the point of being competitive. Which breaks my spirit. I'm not going to lie. Can I get a point off of Carlos Alcaraz? All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to call. And then we'll take your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Oh, there it is right there. Very nice, see? Oh, my top five Jet moments I want to see on Hard Knocks. That's coming up. Oh, baby.
Look at that. Hey.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.